Hi there, welcome back to the final module of this Microsoft Virtual Academy course on configuring Azure as a DR target site. In this module, we're going to take a look at the use of Azure Site Recovery Plans and Azure Automation to orchestrate large-scale failover of virtual workloads. Then we'll step through tests and real-world failovers, along with the all-important failback process. In order to start crafting a structured failover process, we need somewhere to build it. And that's where recovery plans come in. With a recovery plan, we can arrange our VMs into structured groups that ensures our failover sequence occurs in an order that maintains the integrity of the application architecture of our protected workloads. In a simple example scenario, we might have application servers and database servers protected by Azure Site Recovery. In a failover event, we want to make sure that our web servers are shut down before our database servers to ensure our applications don't lose access to their databases. Likewise, we want the database servers to be operational and responding to queries before the application servers start up and attempt to access their databases. A properly crafted recovery plan will take care of this, and then some. In addition to defining startup order, a recovery plan also allows for the insertion of other steps that are required to complete the failover. These can either be manual steps, for example prompting the engineer to update public DNS records and waiting for TTL expiry, or they can be scripted actions performed automatically using Azure Automation, and we'll dig into automation a little later in this module. Now there are a few capacity limitations that you need to be aware of before moving your entire production environment to Azure Site Recovery. As each recovery plan creates a corresponding Azure cloud service in which it stands up the virtual machines, and there is a limit of 50 virtual machines in a single cloud service, that same limit carries forward to the recovery plans. Therefore, you can only protect 50 virtual machines in a single recovery plan. That said, you can request this limit is increased by raising a support incident with the Azure support team if you have a serious need to add more than 50 VMs to a single recovery plan. There is also a limit of 20 recovery plans per tenant, each containing up to 50 virtual machines by default, giving the ability to recover up to 1,000 virtual machines out of the box. So let's look at a demo of the recovery plan process. Okay, so we'll start in the Azure portal with our protected cloud item. We'll navigate up to recovery plans and we'll create a new one down the bottom. We'll give it a sensible name. MVA failover demo seems sensible, and we'll choose our source as our on-prem VMM and our target being Azure. Now it's going to list all available or all protected virtual machines, so we're going to go ahead and choose our web, SQL, and domain controller boxes. Now that's going to quickly create a recovery plan entity, and it will create a default recovery plan schedule. If we open up the properties of that, we'll be able to see what that is. So you see it has a shutdown, and then a failover, and then a start step. And it's created a single group with all of our VMs in it. Now, technically that would work, but we want to do better than that. So we're going to create staggered groupings by adding additional groups down the bottom, and then moving our VMs based on start order into the groups we wish them to be in. Now, domain controller we want to start first, for obvious reasons, followed by our SQL server. So we'll click on our SQL server, and we'll click Move Virtual Machine, and we'll put it in group 2. We want our web server to start last, so we'll move that to group 3. Now, you can't view the contents of the shutdown or failover nodes, but as you'll see in a later step, they are reverse order of our start order. So in this case, it will be web server first, followed by SQL, followed by domain controller. So we'll go ahead and save that. And then we've created a very basic failover recovery plan with a sequenced order that suits our application workloads. So with our VMs now grouped into a sensible order, we are in a position where we could fail over in a somewhat successful way. However, in most real-world scenarios, there would be a number of manual steps required to make the failover environment fully functional. Azure Automation takes care of a lot of this for you. At its core, Azure Automation is an orchestration engine for executing PowerShell in Azure, and it's not limited to site recovery tasks, as you can use it to perform almost anything you can imagine in PowerShell against Azure targets. It's a very powerful and comprehensive tool, and we won't be digging deep into Azure Automation here, as that topic is well served by the likes of Keith Myers' MVA sessions if you're looking for more info on the topic. Where Azure Automation can be particularly helpful for recovery plans is to automate many of the subtle environment adjustments that are invariably required when failing over from one data center to another. Obvious examples of this are updating IP addresses within VMs, opening Azure endpoints to allow access to virtual machines, testing for specific services to become available on virtual machines before bringing up subsequent machines that might depend on those services, or even sending email notifications at key stages of a failover. But in reality, the world is your oyster. If you can write it in PowerShell, chances are you can run it in Azure Automation. Getting set up for Azure Automation is a quick and simple process, requiring just a few key elements. Firstly, we create an Azure Automation account, which becomes our repository for all automation assets and runbooks. Then we register a shared credential object that our subsequent PowerShell scripts or runbooks can leverage. After that, we're ready to start writing some PowerShell. Lastly, once the PowerShell runbooks have been written and tested, we can update our recovery plan to include our runbooks where we need them. Right, let's get stuck in. Okay, so the first thing we need to do is create an automation account. So we'll shoot over here to automation, and we'll create a new automation account object. We'll give it a name, in our case, MVA Demo Automation Plan, and we'll make sure our region matches the rest of our services. Once that's completed, we'll open it up. You'll see we've got a runbooks option where we'll store our future scripts, and we've got an assets option along the top. So we'll click on assets. And you can see we've got the Azure PowerShell module preloaded, ready to go. We're going to add a setting in here. We're going to add a credential, which is a PowerShell credential. And we'll give it a name that we'll refer to later in our scripting. And we'll pop that username and password in here. Now we're using the tenant admin account, which is probably not encouraged in a production scenario. But for the purposes of a demo, it'll do today. Okay, so we'll save that, and that'll create the credential object. And once we've got that saved in there, we can now refer to that through various runbooks that we create at a later date. So to create a runbook, we pop down to New. We choose Runbook from the options. Now there is a gallery of pre-canned scripts provided by the community, but for purposes of this exercise, we're going to use a quick create and create one from scratch. So we'll just click on quick create and we'll give it a name. That's a good idea to use PowerShell style naming conventions here. So as you'll see, we've got set IP address and the name of our domain controller. And we're storing it in the automation account, and again in the same region. Okay, so once that's created, we can open it up. And you notice the name at the top matches the name of the workflow entity in the first row. It's imperative you leave that as is. If you change those values, the runbook will fail to run. So inside the parentheses there, we can start building our script. So we've got one prepared earlier, so we'll paste that in a few chunks so we can see how it works. First off, we're going to define the recovery plan context. Now this is a variable unique to Azure recovery plans, and it returns a lot of data about our recovery plan each time we run it. It allows us to leverage some of the dynamic variables that will be created as part of those recovery plans. Now we'll pop in some variables that we need to define. So our Azure Connection name, the GUID that we'll define shortly, and the two variables we want to set when we assign our IP addresses. So we're going to assign a prod IP and a test IP depending on which network we're recovering into. Now we're posting in the connection to Azure section. This is using the automation credential account that we created earlier, and it is then passing that into an Add Azure account, and then it is selecting the named Azure subscription that we've specified above. Next, we're going to paste in a section that will gather our VM context by you passing in the GUID that we define above and querying the recovery plan context dynamic string. This is going to allow the script to act based on the dynamic values of the recovery plan that are returned. And now we're going to paste in the heavy lifting component. This section here evaluates whether or not the recovery plan context information is telling us it's a test or non-test failover. If it's a test failover, then we use some of those values that have come out of the recovery plan context to generate our cloud service name and role name, and then we pass in the test IP. Conversely, if it's not a test environment, then we pass in the production IP. And then lastly, for good measure, we'll pop in a little bit of debugging. So we've now got a completed script, and we could test this at this point, and that will run through and evaluate whether our script is okay. But before we do that, we need to go and grab our VM GUID that we are interested in and paste that in here. Alrighty, so we'll just pop across to the recovery services. We'll open up our protected cloud and navigate through to our protected items and virtual machines. We'll find our domain controller and we'll open that up. And then we'll grab the GUID down the bottom there. So we'll copy that. And then we'll pop back to our automation plan in our runbook. And then we'll paste that in once this loads up. Okay, so we'll select our GUID and paste that in there. So now we can save and test this runbook to ensure we haven't got any dodgy code in the script. And because we're using a recovery plan context in this script, we will need to paste in a pre-prepared value for that. So we'll pop that in there, and that will then spit out a completed result. There are no errors, it's generated its debug as we expected, and because our pre-prepared context information didn't match our VM ID, it didn't actually perform any operations. But I'm happy that that's passed my expectations, so we'll save that and we'll now publish that. You'll notice it's now grayed out. This represents that it is now in read-only mode and is published and ready for use. We'll toddle over back to our recovery plans. We'll open up our failover demo plan and we'll expand our domain controller start object. And here's where we want to add in our new script. So we want to add this after this group has started up. Give it a useful name. And we'll select our automation account. And then that will then give us a list of our runbooks in that automation account, of which we currently only have one. Okay, and we'll save that one. And you'll see we now have an update IP address at the end of our DC02 startup phase. Now, as an example, we can also add in a manual step at any point. So let's just add an example one at the end to celebrate on success of our failover process. So once we save that, we have now created a recovery plan, and we can now save that recovery plan ready for use.
So with our VMs nicely wrapped up in a recovery plan and some automation to take care of the tedium of manual changes, we're ready to fail over from on-premises to Azure. Now, as anyone that's had to fail over to DR in an emergency knows, an untested failover process is worthless and will almost certainly create a world of pain for everyone involved. Thankfully, with Azure Site Recovery, it's not an issue. All recovery plans, and for that matter, each Protect VM, can be failed over in a test scenario. As mentioned in Module 2, this test failover occurs in a completely isolated Azure environment with zero impact to running VMs or replication. This makes the process of testing the entire failover engine entirely painless and low risk. In a test failover, you can test your entire automation runbook process, startup order, network topology, and replication data integrity. Once you're happy that your test failover plan is working as you need it to, the test environment is torn down, and you are ready to test a real production failover. Production failover comes in two versions with Azure Site Recovery, either planned or unplanned. In a planned failover, Azure expects to be able to talk to the on-premises VMM and Hyper-V servers that make up your VM cloud. During this failover, Azure will maintain communication with VMM and Hyper-V to shut down your on-premises VMs and maintain data integrity. And a failover of this type will suspend in the event of issues to allow you to work through any problems that occur. In an unplanned failover, it is assumed that your site is unavailable due to disaster, so failover occurs regardless of the state of your on-premises environment, and in the event of errors, will run until completed. So for your production test, you want to use a planned failover, as this is the true end-to-end test of the failover and failback process on your production platform. Initiating failover is a two-click process. The first starts the process and the second confirms you're serious. That's it. How long it takes is entirely dependent on the number of VMs involved and whether you have any manual or external steps in your process. So now that we know what's involved, let's see all that in action. So as you see here, we've got our four VMs all protected, showing no errors, which means we're ready to fail over in a test scenario. So first thing we need to do is confirm our test network. So we'll select the one we created earlier and confirm the failover. Okay, so the failover is now started. We can pop across to the job section and watch that unfold. Now this does take quite some time, so I'll speed this process up. And we'll see this chug through the various steps fairly quickly in this situation. Okay, so we've failed over the three VMs, starting up the main controller, it's performed our update of IP, it's updating our other machines, starting them up, and it's now waiting for a manual action from us. So if we click complete manual action, now this is where we added our celebrate step earlier, possibly slightly preemptively, but we click action completed, and we'll close that, and it will now shoot through to the next step, which is actually completed. So now this step here is for waiting for us to actually test whether our failover has completed correctly. We'd open on this and we tick test failover is complete, and at that point all VMs would be torn down. Before we do that, we probably should actually test the environment has been failed over correctly. So we'll shoot up to our virtual machines. We see we have our three VMs running. They've all been failed over with a test suffix. That is a default suffix. And we can open up our domain controller and double check that our scripted actions have completed. You'll notice that the IP address has changed as per our runbook IP address. And it's also added an RDP endpoint, which is something I added to the runbook earlier. Okay, so we pop back to the dashboard. We can now connect via RDP to our environment, and we can perform any tests that we feel are necessary to validate that the overall operating environment is functional. So we'll just do a quick RDP test just to validate this for now. And there we go, we're logged in. So we'll just call that test completed for the sake of the demo. And now we'll pop back to our recovery plan. And we'll see we've got our test failover wait state, which we can now clear. And so we click complete test. All is okay. Test failover is complete. And complete okay. So we can now sit back and watch this. So this will now clean up all of our environments. It removes all of the virtual machines. and essentially returns it to the pre-failover state. If we pop back to the virtual machine tab, you'll now see there are no machines configured at all. So with the test failover completed, we're now in a position where we might want to tweak our recovery plan process to iron out any kinks. Now we did have that manual step that wasn't particularly useful as it had no context, so we're going to remove that and just modify that to something a bit more practical. Okay, this is more realistic. Update DNS is a fairly common task, so we'll pop that in here and we'll save that. Now, as this is just a manual step, it's probably not necessary to retest the entire process. So we'll just save that there, and then we'll kick off a production failover. So we pop down now to the failover button, and we've got either planned or unplanned failover. So we're going to go with the planned failover here. And here we're going to validate that we're failing over from on-prem to Azure, and that all three of our virtual machines are available. If any of them were unfit for failover, this would tell us at this point. Okay, so now that we're happy that that's okay, we can go ahead and start the failover process. Now if we pop up to the job section, we'll be able to watch this happen. So you can see it's now shutting down our VMs. And if we shoot across to our Hyper-V server, we can see that it is in the process of synchronizing our web server, and it's just about to shut down domain controller. Again, back to the recovery job now, we can see it has failed over, and it is now starting up our VMs. Okay, pretty soon it's going to ask for our manual interaction. Here we go. And this is the point where we need to complete our manual activity, which is to update our DNS. Alright, so we've updated our DNS, or we've indicated we have, and we can now mark our manual actions as complete and have the recovery plan commence the final steps. Okay, so it's stepped through. If we now return to our recovery plan, we'll see we have a commit waiting. Now the commit step merges in all snapshots that were taken as part of the failover process. Now before we go ahead and commit that, we'll just double check that our virtual machines have failed over correctly. You see they're all running here. And if we open up our domain controller, we should see that it's set our production IP based on our runbook. You notice it differs from our test IP, and it should have also added our endpoint for RDP. Now each server will have had all of those same settings applied. Now the SQL Server also has a production IP, and that was automatically assigned. So we're happy that that's all correct, so we'll now commit those snapshots and essentially commit ourselves to the cloud. Again, we can open up the job, check this commit process. It's a pretty quick one. And there we go. Okay, so our commit's completed. If we now go back and look at our VMs, you'll see we have all three VMs running in Azure, having failed over successfully from our on-prem environment. So we can now jump in and do any further validation steps we decided necessary. For the purposes of the demo, we'll just pop a quick RDP session in just to make sure that we can get into our VMs. But fundamentally, there we have it. We've got a failed over, fully failed over environment ready for use. With our VMs all running happily in Azure and our system successfully tested for functionality, we're at a place where we can confirm the failover was a success and complete our production test by failing back all our workloads to our on-premises environment. The good news is that failback is just about as simple as failover. In fact, with the exception of one additional step, the process is literally the same. Failback is initiated from the Azure portal as a planned failover, in the same way as the initial failover. The additional step is that we need to determine what our priority is when it comes to performing data synchronization, which dictates how long the failback outage will be. Our options are either to sync before or sync after the shutdown and failback occurs. If we choose to synchronize before shutdown of the virtual machines, a snapshot of the virtual machines is taken and replicated back to our on-prem environment. The VMs are then shut down, and a second small sync step occurs to bring the on-prem environments up to date before the on-premises VMs are ultimately brought back online. This thereby minimizes the downtime involved in the failback, but extends the overall duration of the process. Alternatively, we can choose to sync after shutdown, which causes the virtual machines to be first shut down, then their entire shutdown state is replicated back to the on-prem environment. This obviously means a much longer period of downtime, as the servers are shut down during the entire sync process. Which of these you choose will depend on your recovery objectives. So with our VMs running in Azure, our failback process is much the same as our failover. We hop into our recovery vault, we navigate to our recovery plans, and we can see here that our failover demo was tested and successful on those dates, both a test failover and a plan failover. And the process from here now is we click failover again, and again another planned failover. But you'll note the direction is now different. It is from Azure to our on-prem VMM server. All three servers are available. And here's where we choose whether or not to synchronize data before we fail over, and therefore have a very short outage, or synchronize data after we shut down our servers, and therefore have a significantly longer outage. So we're going to go with a before failover sync, and hit OK. Okay, and again we can hop up into the jobs, and we can watch this happen. And we'll speed this up a little bit because it does take quite some time. Okay, so our data sync is occurring. And this will occur for all VMs. There we go, all VMs are now syncing. They're now complete. And it's waiting for a user interaction. Now this user interaction is the step that will initiate the shutdown of the VMs and therefore start our outage window. So we need to be able to coordinate this with our outage process. So we'll go ahead and confirm that. And this will now start shutting down our VMs in Azure. And you'll notice it's in reverse order. So we can see here our web server has stopped. All VMs have now been shut down, and it's now initiating a synchronization of that remaining data for each server. And if we have a look again at our Hyper-V server, we can see that failback replication is occurring. And if we speed this up a little bit, we can see that it's now failed over those VMs, and it started them up in the appropriate order. Okay, it's now waiting for another manual action. Now this is the reverse of our failover process. Obviously we need to change our DNS again. And we confirm we've done that. And it carries on. So if we now open up our recovery plans, we can see we have a commit waiting. Now much as we did when we failed over, we need to commit our snapshots again. We can have a quick look on our Hyper-V server and validate our Hyper-V replication health. And you can see that it has started a new set of replication. So things are looking good. A quick check of our virtual machines in Azure shows they are still there, but they are all turned off. So that's all looking good. We can head back to recovery plans and we can acknowledge that commit. And again, this will merge those snapshots in and commit us back to our on-prem environment. Quick look at the job, validate the progress, and that should run through reasonably quickly. So with our commit complete, let's pop back up and check our virtual machines, and you'll see that they've all been torn down as part of that commit process. And on Hyper-V, we'll see all of our VMs are now running happily and on our on-prem environment. Now we're almost there, we've still got a couple more steps to go. If we pop back to our recovery services and check the status of our recovery plan, you'll see we now have a reverse replication step. Now this reverse replication job is what finally re-enables our cloud protection for each virtual machine. So let's go ahead and click yes on that. And check on its status. This is a reasonably quick process. Usually takes under a minute. And if we pop back to our Hyper-V server, quick refresh, and we can validate the replication health. All is healthy, and we've got regular replication occurring. And now finally, if we pop back to our protected items and view our virtual machines, we should see that their in replication status is all now protected. So with that, we've completed a full failover and failback of our virtual machines to and from Azure. Thank you for joining me for this module on recovery planning, Azure automation, and failover scenarios with Azure Site Recovery. If you've been through the preceding three modules of this Virtual Academy course, you'll now have a thorough understanding of the planning, deployment, and operation of Azure Site Recovery, and are ready to experience it for yourself. Don't forget to check out the TechNet Eval Center, Virtual Labs, and other courses on the MVA site.